prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, it's time for Cash It or Trash It on the Killer Bees, ESPN 975, 925, live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, sitting here at Stadium Swim as beautiful Andrew is trying to keep the sun out of his eyes and the sunblock out of his eyes.
Can you stop with the beautiful Andrew? Don't brand him, me and everybody, and Trey used
hey,
to do
listen,
that.
Don't
he's so much more well-rounded
Andrew.
Than the beautiful Andrew.
No, he's not. He's totally here as eye candy.
I think I would go the beautiful George, but that's for the fact that he goes much deeper than surface.
I think Andrew's great. You should listen to the bullpen Saturdays 12 to 2.
Oh, I agree.
There nice you go.
And this Master Saturday, trash and this the bullpen this weekend, ESPN 97.5.
And this Saturday we're on 12 to 3 at Bobcat Teddy's Ice House. Come visit me and Josh Beard. Cash it.
Josh Beard's a producer on this
no,
station?
But Andrew left me. He's in Vegas.
But Patrick's so? Doing a show from Vegas. Ever think that was possible?
Joel, have a Comrex.
I'm not gonna take
how
Andrew
about that?
Away from Vegas.
Someone better call the regional general manager instead of the assistant.
Well, that person doesn't exist right now. So.
Well, you know what? Hold on. Let's just go right to the source. Hey, Andrew, if you have the choice of you can either do the show with Joe from 12 to 3 on Saturday, or you can either be in the pool or be at the NCAA tournament, which are you choosing?
I love you, Joe, but that's not going to be my selection. My selection is going to be being in the pool or being at the tournament, and we're not both going to be on Comrexes. That would just sound terrible.
Here's the
thing. It makes all sense to not do the show or have me not do the show.
If
so
you
there you
chose
have it.
Me?
Andrew has ditched Joe.
If Andrew chose me over Vegas, I have bigger questions to ask because I would not. I also love Andrew, but I would not choose Andrew. I would choose Vegas over Andrew every time.
I always choose Vegas over Joe George. Cash it.
Smart. All right, it's well played, Joe.
Thank you.
Let's get this segment started. Which one of you gentlemen would like to go first?
Joe, mix it up. It's your segment.
All right, I'll go first on this one. We've seen a lot of bad takes out there for the NFL, and I'm going to join the category here. I'm just going to go officially on record that my Super Bowl pick for next year, and this is mostly because these Hopkins of the Buffalo Bills rumors are heating up. DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen will go to the Super Bowl next year.
Ooh. Is that true that the
rumors are heating up that the Bills are heavily involved in DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm hearing that you don't have to give up a first this time.
Well, you didn't have to last time either.
Thanks, Bill O'Brien. I understand that. But I'm saying because Diggs obviously required a first.
Yeah.
And then we saw what Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams brought last season. So if you don't have to give up a first, you're the Buffalo Bills. It's a luxury pickup for a team that is in a position of luxury. I can get the understanding behind it. I can't get them past the Kansas City Chiefs.
Trash.
Hey, Joe, you want to parlay this? Because you kind of parlayed into one of mine, which is DeAndre Hopkins, who has a two-year, $54 million contract that only starts this year, is not going to fetch a day two pick either. You're going to be able to get DeAndre Hopkins for a fourth or later.
I'm trashing that as well. I think
if the Bills can get him for a fourth, oh my goodness, that would be so wild.
See,
I think the high side is a two, the low side is a three. I don't think it ever gets to a four. I think that for that reason alone, I'm trashing that.
Trash.
Joe, I'm gonna cash our parlay. The Bills are gonna get him on a day three pick, and then they're gonna take down the Kansas City Chiefs. Do it.
You know what's interesting? I think actually, Instagram was wild yesterday. If you follow the Buffalo Bills or the Houston Cougars, because Ed Oliver sure looked like he said goodbye to the Bills organization on Instagram.
I didn't see that.
Would you if you were the Cardinals, Would you take a flyer on Ed Oliver, who hasn't been the contributor we all kind of thought he was going to be when he left the Cougs? Would you do like a fifth rounder or a fourth rounder in Ed Oliver for DeAndre Hopkins? If you're the Cardinals?
I don't think it's enough. Ed Oliver would look really good in Houston.
He would.
I don't think the Cardinals
Ed Oliver with D'Amico would be something that people would like to see.
Yeah, there's still something there.
What's his contract? Because for him saying goodbye, are they going to cut him?
Yeah.
Why not? If you're the Houston Texans, it costs you nothing. Go pick him up.
There've been rumblings about his dedication, his attitude. That's not the kind of guy I want to bring.
We heard
to
that
a
about Clowney too. But guess what? You got a head coach in the building that kind of specializes in turning guys around.
Not everybody wants to be turned around.
You don't think he wants to come back to H-Town and have a chance to prove himself?
Well, he didn't want to be here anyways.
Huh?
He didn't want to be here anyways.
What are you talking about?
He said he wanted to go to LSU. He said it like after he graduated and before the NFL draft, he said he would have rather go to LSU.
Right, but this is different now. Now he's coming home.
It's fair.
And he's coming home to where everybody loves him. And he's got a chance to, again, resurrect his career and restart his resume under a guy that specializes in getting the best out of defensive players. I think it's a good match.
I would take a flyer. Joel, what's yours?
The first one I heard this morning changed everything. I heard Lance on the bench with John Granato, and they were talking about the Western Conference playoff picture in the NBA, and he said that there was a chance that the Phoenix Suns don't make the playoffs. It's one thing to say that they can slip a little bit. It's another thing to say that they're not going to make the playoffs. And everybody harping on the fact that they have Kevin Durant. No, they don't, and they're probably not going to have Kevin Durant for the rest of the regular season. But they have enough, just because they lost to the Lakers last night, they're not going to tumble out of the playoffs, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with once Durant joins them for the playoffs. I am completely of the belief that the Phoenix Suns are going to make the playoffs, and they're going to go very far.
Yeah, it's cash it easy.
Define playoffs, top six or into the play-in game?
I like that question.
But if you'd like me to define it even further, the Phoenix Suns are a top six team in the Western Conference.
Okay, so the Suns are a game ahead of the Warriors for the sixth seed.
Yep.
But they've also played 72 games, and the Warriors have played 74 games.
Yep.
Then you get the
T-Wolves. Tell me where I changed my opinion, because so far I'm not.
I got a hard time thinking that the Suns are going to fall into seven or lower. I'm trashing that.
Trash.
Okay.
All right.
Not a fan on that one.
Pat, what's your next one?
Okay, so since I kind of morphed in the Hopkins one, here's our phones. We were talking about this earlier. Win total for your your reigning, defending, undisputed world champion Houston Astros. Even with all the injuries, even with everything changing around, Astros, 97 wins.
97? I'll cash that. I think they still do that. I'm fine with that. I believe in this team. I believe in the added depth. I believe in all the guys we were talking about making this lineup even better. I believe, as much as we know how long Altuve is going to be out, I don't think it's going to be a long haul before we see Michael Brantley. Obviously, Yordan playing today is encouraging. Lance McCullers a little bit more of a wild card, but if I see him about the same time as I see Altuve, I see no reason why this team can't still flirt with 100 games.
Yeah, I'm going to cash it. I think we're going to be sweating that one out, though.
I don't disagree.
I think we might be like,
I think we're going to be watching the injury report every day going, we need you back now.
We might be like 10 days left in the regular season. And if you've got that ticket, you're going to be sweating. I don't think they're going to blow past it like they did last year.
I agree. See, that leads into mine, because I think my second one is that the Astros will win the division, but win or lose, the division will be decided by five games or less. I just don't think that, as much as everybody says, oh, they're going to have this is the same division. It's not. They keep saying, well, you know, all they got to do is make the playoffs. But I don't think it's going to be the cakewalk it was a year ago, and that's just in the American League all over. But in the division itself, the Mariners got significantly better. The Angels got significantly better. I think the Rangers got somewhat better. I don't worry about the A's, but I still think that's enough. And with the schedule of playing everybody in the league, I think that this is going to be a tighter division, and it's going to be something that you really got to keep an eye on all season long.
I'm going to trash that.
Ooh. Trash.
Really?
They're going to trash that. I think they're going to win by more than five games. I do think that looking at the Mariners the last 2 years, the Mariners have gotten better each of the last 2 years, but they still have a major statistical anomaly that's gone in their favor for 2 years, and that's their record in one-run games and their record in extra inning games. That number is completely not sustainable for them to continue to win at more than a two-thirds clip in one-run games and extra inning games. There is going to be some regression there because it's just not possible to do it 3 years in a row. So I do think the Mariners are probably, even though they might be a little bit better, probably still a 90-win team. That would put them seven games back of the Astros. So I'm going to trash that.
Trash.
Not by a lot, but by enough.
This is a good one, Joel.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna cash it. I think it's a tight, and it might be five exactly, but I think it is going to be a little bit tighter this year. The injuries, even though the Astros' schedule favors the injuries early on in the season, it's really weak for the most part, to be honest. You know, you got the Pirates, the Tigers, a bunch of these bad teams before Altuve comes back. So, like, you could take advantage, but that'll be a good one. All right, this one, look, I know we're not out in Austin. We're not watching practice every day. So I'm just going gut feeling on this one. Mm-hmm. Arch Manning, QB1, week one for the University of Texas this season.
Ooh.
Beats out Quinn Ewers.
Ooh, I don't think so. I'm trashing that.
Trash.
I think Ewers has showed enough when he was out
there. Got happy feet, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can't afford to throw Arch Manning out there too soon.
I think you can because
Sark. It's Sark, though. Sark's not exactly on. I don't care. It hasn't been that long. But you know how Texas goes.
I don't know
if his footing is that solid.
Is Quinn Ewers worth losing Arch Manning to the transfer portal?
I think that's
the question.
Here's why I trash it. I don't think there's a concern about losing Arch Manning to the transfer portal. I think that it's pretty established. Ewers is going to be the quarterback this year, and then he's probably moving on, and then Arch Manning is going to take over his sophomore season. I think that's kind of been the plan. I also think it's possible. Look, we saw last year Quinn Ewers got hurt, and then they had to go to a backup quarterback, and sometimes that backup quarterback was playing on one leg. So I do think it's possible we will see Arch Manning play this year because Quinn Ewers is going to have to show his durability. But I do think that the plan is and has been that Ewers would be the quarterback this year. And I don't think Arch Manning and his family would have sent him to Texas if they didn't already know that was the plan.
Yeah, I think
that's why I'm going to trash it.
I think it's been discussed. I think they already – everybody knows. That's why I trashed it.
Yeah, I just think that if everyone discussed it that much and everyone thought it through and everyone was on the same page, then why are you having a quarterback competition?
Because competition makes everybody better.
That's fair. But it's a competition, which means Arch can win it. And I'm saying he's going to.
We shall see.
All right, guys, real quick, one more. Creighton goes further in the tournament than Gonzaga, Miami, and Xavier.
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
Because I like Gonzaga.
I like Gonzaga. I hope my wife's not listening because she went to UCLA. I also really like Xavier. I think Xavier's a really good team. And I know Texas is playing arguably the best in the tournament. But I'll take those two teams' chances to go further. So I'll trash that.
All right. I do like the fact that Creighton has Princeton, whereas Xavier has Texas. Miami has UH, and Gonzaga has UCLA. Certainly the easiest road to the Elite Eight.
But Jaime Jaquez and UCLA and some injuries, you've got Drew Timmy with Gonzaga under the radar as an underdog, just kind of freewheeling. That's a game to watch.
I plan on watching it tonight.
There you go.
Here.
By the way, thank you,
Joel Blank.
Poolside at night. Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to do poolside. I think if we got the credentials for that, I'm going to actually go.
Well, you should.
Which, again, thank you, Joel Blank. Thank you, Joe George, hooking that up for me. I do appreciate both of you gentlemen. You are both gentlemen and scholars, and I'm greatly appreciative of that.
Yeah, just like you got my suite. You're welcome.
Dude, let me tell you, we all have suites except Andrew. Andrew's the only one who didn't get a suite.
And he's the only one that could better utilize it.
And he's the one who's got to lug all the equipment and keep everything on
that
air.
Hurts.
He's out here.
This is
he's
producer shaming.
Yes.
He's out here for – no, I'm not producer shaming.
No, not you.
I am, Quentin. I am producer. Oh, yeah, I'm producer.
I bet you Q got a suite.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Okay, everybody got a suite. I knew that was coming.
Except the guy who actually has to do the hardest work and the most work and the most time on site, Andrew, who's literally getting beaten with whips.
Wow.
He's the guy that doesn't get a suite. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Man, that is wrong.
I think Jake should give up his suite for Andrew since Jake's going to be taking off and going to a wedding over the weekend. He doesn't need it. I think he should switch with Andrew. I think it'd be fair.
I think you should work that out. Good luck.
All right. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Houston Rockets who fell to the Grizzlies last night. Good things, bad things. We'll get the latest on the Rockets. He's Joel Blank. I'm Patrick Creighton in for Jeremy Branham. Live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friends at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Check out their menu right now. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com. It's worth your time. It is worth your hunger, because they are going to take care of you with the best Italian food in the area. Come with an empty stomach and a big appetite. Leave with a full belly, knowing you just tasted some unbelievable food, and you can't wait to come back to taste the next dish that you saw on the menu. I mean, Chris Smith, not only the owner, but he absolutely takes care of you when you come in there with the freshest produce, the freshest ingredients, and the all-made-from-scratch entrees that he serves nightly there in Frankie's Italian Kitchen. They moved from their old location. They have doubled the size. They also have a beautiful bar called Dino's Bar, named after Dean Martin, with 8 big screen TVs and the opportunity to spread out before and after dinner and enjoy some cocktails with friends and family, knowing that this is an environment where it doesn't matter what you wear and it doesn't matter which fork you use. It matters that you came for great food and atmosphere as you hang out and enjoy. That's what Chris wants to do. That's why he has Italian brunches on Saturday and Sunday, where you can get unbelievable food and another great opportunity to get out with the family or your friends. Lunch specials as well. They take care of you every step of the way. They're on Highway 99 and 1093, a mile down 1093 on the right-hand side. If you're in the Richmond, Katy, Sugarland area, right where you need them to be. If you're not, it's worth the drive, and you're going to leave happy and satisfied. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
You're listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank. And live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, filling in for Jeremy Branham, here's Patrick Creighton.
I'm sitting in the party cabana, the ESPN 97.5 party cabana, poolside at Stadium Swim, Circa Casino and Resort, home of the world's biggest sports book. I'm having a great time hanging out with Andrew. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, my man Joel Blank. Not necessarily next to me today, but with me on the show, in the studio, along with Joe George, the master of ceremonies. Last night, Rockets fall 130-125 in Memphis to the Grizzlies and the returning Ja Morant. But let's get into some positives and maybe some not-so-positives about what we've seen from the Rockets recently, Joel. Your thoughts, KJ Martin, a career-high 31 points last night, 12 of 18 from the field, also added 6 boards and a pair of blocks. Your thoughts on KJ Martin, performance last night, and where is KJ in your Rockets circle of trust right now?
Well, I mean, he's moving up. He's moving up for sure. He's shown me that as much as his dad was getting in his way by talking about he needs to be traded, I don't know that there's any other team in this league where he could have been traded, where he got the opportunity in the minutes that he's getting with the Rockets, and now he's taking advantage of them. I think because he's taking advantage of them, he helps you forget about the fact that he was a second-round pick, and your two late first-round picks, Garuba and Josh Christopher, have been borderline, if not complete, busts. But I think that he moves up, and Jayshon Tate is a guy that I thought that they overpaid and didn't need to extend when they did, that now looks like, especially because people don't realize, he's of an age that's different than the rest of your core group, and he's in his late 20s, to where he should be a piece that you're looking to move on from, and KJ's looking to be a guy that you should hang on to. Ignore what Kenyon Martin says. Understand what KJ Martin has done. The fact that he continues to get better offensively means he's a guy you can build with, and that he needs to build around whoever you're going to build around and help the rest of this team develop. I think he's a guy that fits perfectly here. He needs to stay here, and I don't care what his dad says. At the time is right, you need to look at keeping him here.
Do you look at KJ Martin as a potential long-term starter or more of a sixth guy off the bench?
Here's my big thing with KJ Martin. It depends on who's around him. Because if you're looking to start him and you need offensive things from him like he gave you last night is a rarity. It's not an everyday. It's not the regular. But if you're looking for an energy guy, a rebound guy, an athletic guy, a hustle guy that can complement whether it be Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson, along with the younger guys you're developing from next year through the next 3 to 4 years, then he's the perfect guy in the starting lineup. Because much like you're using Jayshon Tate, you're not putting him in the starting lineup as an offensive opportunity and option and weapon. You're putting him in there to help complement the other guys in the lineup while not taking shots from them. And that's why I think he would be the perfect starter in the short term while you're developing your franchise-type player.
All right, Alpi Şengün had another good game. 11 of 15 from the field. He put on some clinics with some great spin moves, getting to the basket, 25 points, 8 boards. Also had 4 assists and a pair of steals. As, you know, Alpi's game a little more well-rounded than I think people realize. Is Alpi now in that conversation of he is a part of the future, whether you take Victor Wembanyama or not? Could you see a situation where Alpi and Victor played high-low the way Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph used to play high-low in Memphis?
I don't think there's any doubt. I never thought that he was out of the equation if you got Victor Wembanyama, because I don't think Victor Wembanyama is a five. I think Victor Wembanyama is best case scenario is they're better shooting Giannis. Worst case scenario, he's a small forward that's trying to find his way in the NBA. And I think that somewhere in the middle, no matter what it is, I think that a guy like Şengün is a perfect complement. Wembanyama is going to make a lot of people better defensively because of his reach and his ability to block shots and rebound. I think that having a guy like Şengün, defense is something that you can get better at, that no matter where you are in your career, you can improve on. It's not like you can improve your shot as easily or do some of the other things that once you get established in the league become more difficult. I believe that Şengün is a guy that should be untouchable for this team in the next year. Şengün is a guy that's going to continue to get better as he matures and understands rotations and defensively, you know, switches and help. He's going to get better defensively, but what he gives to you offensively with his footwork and otherwise is something that you can't pass on and something that makes no matter who's on your team better.
Joel, Jalen Green was 10 of 18 last night. He was 9 of 9 from the line as he's on a little bit of a hot streak right now, and he's consistently getting to the foul line with some high numbers, 32 points last night. What have you seen from Green the last week, and how much of it do you think is sustainable?
Well, that's the key, Pat. I think that what I've seen from him is what we've known all along. There's a ton of ability there, but I think that he also has the right attitude, and that is not just like being a problem child. I don't mean that. I mean the attitude of the shot selection matters, and the way you get your points matters. And you have to go about your business from the standpoint of it's not just about me and getting mine. It's about making my team better in the process and being a team player as well. And I think these are things he's still trying to figure out and learn. I think that the ability is definitely there. But it drives me nuts when he goes one-on-two or that he, you know, blows by somebody but then decides to pull it out and settles for a fadeaway 35-footer. I think that he has to get better in understanding situations and where he needs to do his solo job, you know, of isolation, and where he needs to grab the defense following him and then kick the ball to the open player to get a better look and a better chance to score. Those are things that I think the next coaching staff can come in and really work with him on, but he has to be open to it. He can't already think he's gotten there and has done everything he needs to do.
Joel, it wasn't much more than a month ago that we were still seeing the Rockets with 8 guys in a game getting over 20 minutes and the rotations and the kind of being weird and the questions about the rotations. Now, they played 9 players last night, but the only guy on the bench to get more than 15 minutes was Tari Eason. Eason played 27 minutes, had 8 boards and a couple of assists, didn't do a whole lot offensively, but he was the only guy to get more than 15 minutes. Do you like the rotation being tightened up a bit?
I don't. Simply because at this point, what are you tightening it up for? You're not trying to make a playoff run. You're not getting tuned up ready for the postseason. So why not take a look at everybody on your roster? One guy that shouldn't be playing, in my opinion, is Deshaun Nix, because it didn't cost you anything to get him. And I don't think he gives you enough return on the investment when you play him. And I don't think you need to see him. I need to see more of Christopher. I need to see more of Garuba. I need to see more of guys that I need to be evaluating to understand if there's a place on this roster next season for them. And I don't think they've done enough of that. I think that this is the final laboratory report as you're trying to evaluate and do the research on a lot of guys when you determine whether they should be on this team next season, no matter who the coach is. And I think that's what you're trying to do right now. You need to start working with Shengun, and you really need to start working with Jabari Smith as well on defense. You need to start working on shot selection with a guy like KPJ if you're going to keep him around, but more so with a guy like I talked about with Jalen Green. I think Tari Eason is just like a KJ Martin, only already, I think, more skilled offensively and fundamentally. I think Tari Eason is a big piece of this puzzle going forward. Not necessarily as a 1-2 go-to guy, but as a definite rotational guy that makes you better. And he's another guy that could easily start on this team because he doesn't have to have a play called for him, but he can do the little things and the intangibles that make you better. So I think those are the guys I want to see a lot more from, because I got to figure out who they are. I don't understand this DJ Augustine signing other than a roster spot, because the last thing I need right now is minutes for any veteran to get on the court.
No, I'm with you. I don't need to see any more of DJ. We know who he is. He's certainly been around long enough.
Yeah.
But the need to get the young guys in. And I'm with you on Christopher and Garuba. You got to give those guys opportunity, because they need the chance to either look. You got to sink or swim. Either they're gonna show they're gonna improve and they're gonna cut it, or you got to move on for them. But you want to be able to make an informed decision when you do so. Coming up next, you know, understand lists are not made to be accurate. They're made to tick you off. ESPN put out a list of who they believe will be the top 100 Major League Baseball players for 2023. Let's see where these Astros might be on the list and whether you do or don't agree with it. Please. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 Live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas.
You're listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank. And live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, filling in for Jeremy Branham, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hanging out at Stadium Swim, Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, home of the world's biggest sports book. I've got, what we got on the TV here? We got baseball, we got golf, we got hockey, and we got all the lines for the games. We're going to get into tonight's games in the next segment. But first, ESPN put out a list of who they think are going to be the best 100 players in Major League Baseball this coming season. So we're not talking about guys entering the season, but where they think they're going to be at the end of the season, where they think they're going to wind up ranking. And some of these Astros numbers, I like to get your opinion on this, what you think with the Astros, because the highest graded Astro on this list, the top 100 guys, what they are expecting in production this year, Jordan Alvarez. That's not a surprise. But he's 15th.
Ooh. Is this before or after they knew about the fact that he's been delayed by hand injuries?
This is after, so that's being taken into account.
Okay, then I understand it, because otherwise he's top five to me. So, yeah, it might be a little low, especially if he's playing today, and if he continues to play and he's ready for the regular season, then I would say it's probably low. But I understand it if they're factoring in the injury concerns.
The next Astro on the list is Alex Bregman at 39.
Okay.
You're surprised that Bregman is, A, the number two Astro, or that he is at 39 on the list?
I think I'm surprised at both. I think that if you said Kyle Tucker is number 39 and Kyle Tucker is the next Astro, I'd be just fine with that. And I would think that that absolutely makes sense. I think Bregman had a resurrection year last year, because there was a ton of people that had a ton of worries about him and his health, and, you know, the fact that it looked like his game had taken a step back, as well as his attitude. And I think a lot of that came back last season. Now, if he comes back and is capable of picking up where he left off and continues to roll, then I think that with every day that passes, he can do more to solidify his place in the top 40 or 50. But until he gets to that point, and of course health is a big issue too, I don't think that he supplants Kyle Tucker as the second most important player on this team offensively, and I think that that's something that it surprises me a bit that Major League Baseball was thinking, or whoever did the list is thinking that way.
So you made me do a quick double check because I missed Kyle Tucker. And Kyle Tucker is actually 38. He's
okay, well,
one spot ahead of Alex Bregman.
Well, that makes more sense because Tucker should be the number two. But the fact that you have both guys under the number 40, it's a good thing. It's a bit surprising to me on Bregman. I understand it for Tucker, and then I'll let you pick up from there.
So I'm a little surprised Tucker is 38 because, you know, for all of the numbers that show him to be a top six outfielder, 38 seems like it's pretty far down the list for Kyle Tucker. You think a guy who's legitimate possibility of being a 30-30 player this year would be higher than 38. I thought Tucker would be better. I actually thought Bregman would be a little worse because Bregman's, you know, home run totals have kind of gone down. The RBI totals have kind of gone down. I thought we'd see Tucker a little higher and Bregman a little lower. Framber Valdez is the next Astro on the list at 42. I thought Fromber would be ahead of Bregman.
You did? Was that based on Fromber, because you're just basing on what happened last year?
No, I think that Fromber has kind of come into his own as a legitimate number one pitcher. And, you know, the ground balls that he generates that ground ball better than any other pitcher in baseball.
Sure.
I think Fromber's shown that he's a true number one pitcher. And I just thought he'd be a little higher when you put what we expect all their numbers to be at the end of the year. Fromber's got a shot to win 20 games.
But you're taking away the shift, which helps him immensely. So I think that's a move against him. I'm a little surprised that he is where he is as well. And I'm a little surprised he's the first pitcher on the list. I guess you're basing it just on the regular season last year. Because otherwise, if I'm basing pitchers and the Astros and where they fall, Christian Javier is higher to me.
Yeah, Javier is a little further down the list. Jeremy Peña is the next Astro on the list at 52.
Okay. I think it might be a little high. I think that, like we talked about, I understand how the hype train got massive because of the playoffs. But I think that the realism is, and the realistic approach is, he ain't going to be what he was in the playoffs. I hope he's not what he was in the regular season a year ago. And I think you fall somewhere in between as to where he settles in. But I don't think he's the 52nd best player in all of Major League Baseball.
Jose Altuve is at 67, and again, this is taking into account the thumb injury and that he's likely to miss 2 months of time. Question here is, who puts up the better RBI totals, average, on base, runs scored, etc.? 4 months of Altuve or 6 months of Peña?
See, without the injury, this is a no-brainer. Altuve is far higher up on the list than Peña. Even with the injury, I just think that Altuve is going to Altuve. And, you know, the numbers can't be what we had predicted for the whole season when you take into consideration he's going to miss two and a half months of the year. But I think that he's going to put up better pop numbers than Peña, I believe, no matter how much weightlifting Jeremy's done. I believe in Altuve, and that's not even to take a shot at Peña. But when you're comparing the two of them, been there, done that, and done it for a long time. No sign of not doing it again. I take Altuve.
We finally come to Christian Javier at number 70 on the list, which I think is, if we're talking about potential and where you expect a guy to be at the end of the season, I think that number is way high. He should be definitely lower on the list.
I agree. I believe that look, that's, and I'll take it, because then the hype train ain't getting going just yet. It ain't leaving the station, and it can continue to be Houston's best-kept secret, but at a certain point, people are going to figure out that you're sleeping on Christian Javier. The dude doesn't get high blood pressure. The dude doesn't seem to be bothered by anything. And the dude's stuff is filthy, nasty, and unhittable at times, as we've seen. I think that it's a great secret for Houston. Let him keep sleeping on where he should be. But I think by the end of the season, if we take this poll, I think he should be definitely a lot higher on the list.
The last Astro on the list is Jose Abreu at 89. Even with the downturn in home runs last year, guy hit 300, 40 doubles. I feel like there's some sleep going on with Jose Abreu.
I can see that, but I also think that it's not unrealistic because he's been so, you know, unpredictably, you know, not the MVP Abreu. I think there's every reason to believe he's going to have a resurrection and a better year this year than he had in Chicago because of factors we've already talked about from the park and to the lineup. I think that may, to me, seem like it's a little low. But again, I'll take it because I think I want to see how he fits in with this lineup. But if he does what I think he's going to do, seeing better pitches and being in a more potent offensive lineup, I think he's going to have a really good year.
So that's 8 Astros in the top 100.
That's
fair
fine.
Representation?
Yeah.
Do you think anybody's missing?
No, I really don't. I mean, when you go about it, you're not going to look at any of the other. I don't think Brantley, because of his age, is going to be on that list. Maldi's obviously not going to be on that list. So you covered everybody else, and from a pitching perspective, Hunter Brown's not ready to be on that list yet. Neither is Garcia or Keedy. I'm fine with everybody on that list. I think in terms of having those guys in the top 100, just depending on, obviously, we have a little bit of a difference in where they should be, but I think that's fair.
Not a great, you know, I mean, I know that they don't really have closers in this list, but Ryan Pressly's a guy that I could see, you know, if he doesn't have that knee injury that he seems to have each year the last couple of years where he misses, you know, a few weeks, a month or so, Ryan Pressly could be a guy who punches out 40 saves.
You know what? You're right. I'll take that back. That's the one guy I thought should be there. You're right.
He's kind of the only one that I think is you could make the argument for that.
It's a great call because I think that you're right. I mean, look, he's one of the top closers in baseball, and he showed it. And he's on the World Baseball Classic roster as their closer. I mean, you can pick whoever you want that you could have or would have had, but he's one of the top 5 closers in baseball. I think that should warrant top 100 in the game, in my opinion. It's a good call.
All right, we got one more segment to go. The NCAA tournament resumes today. Are you feeling upsets, or are we getting a little chalky now that we get into the Sweet 16? We'll take a look at the games for today next. Killer Bees, ESPN 92.5, 97.5, live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank, and live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, filling in for Jeremy Branham, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, one more segment until the wheelhouse comes your way here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, live from Circa Resort and Casino, hanging out at Stadium Swim. Brad Kellner has shown up looking like a lifeguard, wearing an all-white hoodie and John Stockton-style shorts. Cody looks like the lifeguard supervisor. And Jake is doing the I'm not sure if I'm going to get in the pool or not look. He's got the jams on. He's got the T-shirt on. He's got the hat on. He's ready to be in the sun. Not sure if he's ready to be in the water, but he's definitely ready to be in the sun.
Okay.
He says he's ready to go in the water.
They should broadcast live from the water.
Dude, if we could get there'd be a little going on there. I don't know that.
Leave BK out of it. And Cody.
NCAA tournament is back tonight, including 2 games that will be right here in Las Vegas. Games going on. This one will be coming up in a little bit. Michigan State is actually favored.
Saw that.
By a point over Kansas State. Kansas State, I think, was ranked 15th. Sparty was not ranked. But Sparty actually a one-point favorite in this game. Marquise Noel is averaging 17 and nearly 8 assists. For Kansas State, Keontae Johnson been putting up over 17 and 7 over the last 10 games for K-State. For the Spartans, it's Tyson Walker, 15 points a game, and Joey Hauser, who's been knocking down threes for them for the last 10 games. What do you like in this game, especially the idea of Michigan State being favored?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's the guy who's storming the sidelines for the Sparties. I think that March is Izzo time, and he's done it again, and he continues to do it. And every time anybody doubts him, he does it again. And it doesn't mean that he has the most talented team, but it's the most well-coached, and it's the best in terms of what they do, how they do it, and the way they execute when they need to. And that's why I think they're favored. I was a bit surprised they were favored too, but I also believe that they can win this game. I think the key is going to be defense. I think you've got to shut down Kansas State's point guard, but I think that if you can slow him down, I don't think that the complementary pieces are nearly what Michigan State can do to you. And Hauser's a good call, PC, because Hauser's a guy that no matter who plays what way, he finds a way to get on the scoreboard, and he puts it up in pretty good bunches. I think Michigan State should be favored in this game. I think Michigan State will win this game, and I think that it could come down to coaching as well as a more well-rounded rotation of players with Michigan State.
Beware the broken clipboards of March when it comes to Tom Izzo. How many whiteboards get broken today, over, under 1.5?
I think it's under, but I think that, look, he's not afraid to get up in his players' faces, and a lot like Kelvin Sampson, you know what you're signing up for if you commit to play for Tom Izzo. You know he's going to give you some tough love, but at the end of the day, you also know he's one of the best to ever do it, and I believe that his player buy-in is exactly why he's so good at this time of the year.
UConn and Arkansas, that game's going to be here in Vegas. Huskies are 4-point favorites over the Razorbacks. Adama Sanogo's averaging over 17 a game and 7.5 boards. Jordan Hawkins putting up 15 a game for the Huskies. For the Razorbacks, it's Ricky Council, 16 points a game. Devontae Davis has been their long-range threat, hitting 2 3-pointers a game for the last 10 games. What do you see here with the Huskies and the Hogs?
Well, I love this matchup. I think that Hurley finally has some complementary players that can do the things that he wants to do in the way he wants to coach. But I also believe that Musselman – look, I think Musselman is a sleeper name to be considered for the UT job. I think that Musselman is a guy that has proven everywhere he goes that he could be the next coming of a Tom Izzo-type guy, a guy that leaves no stone unturned in the way he prepares. He recruits the kind of players that he needs that are versatile, that are long, that are athletic, that can defend, that can do a lot of different things. And he's another guy that what he did at Nevada is a perfect example that he gets guys to play up to a certain level at the right time of the year. I think that UConn is a really good team. I think Alabama is a hot team. I think that Musselman knows this could be also a way that his name becomes a hot name in the coaching circle in the offseason. I like Arkansas in this game. I really do. I think that they are versatile enough, and they still have enough size that I think a lot of people slept on them during the regular season, but I think that they can step up in this game.
See, I've been a UConn fan since I'm 7 years old, so it's hard for me to objectively look at anything that is Huskies, and I've followed the team. I like the way they play. You're talking about, you know, the way Hurley has finally been able to construct the roster a little more to the style that he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't go against my heart here with the Huskies, so I'm going to take UConn.
What's the spread in that game?
4.
So, I'm definitely taking Arkansas in the points.
Actually, it's now 3.5 according.
That's why I was taking Arkansas with 4 in the points. Yep.
Here at Circa, the line has gone down to 3.5, but I would have still taken them at 4 for the Huskies. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. This is only a 4.5 point spread, despite the fact, you know, the Volunteers playing a mid-major team. Santiago Viscovi shooting 37% from beyond the arc for Tennessee, averaging 13 points. Olivier Nakamura is shooting almost 48% over his last 10 games. So the Vols have been hot shooting. Janelle Davis is averaging 14-5 for the Owls. Elijah Martin's averaging 14 points over his last 10 games for Florida Atlantic. Only a 4.5 point spread. What do you like in this game?
I like the Vols, and I'll give the points. I think the Vols are another team, much like Arkansas. I think that they're long, they're athletic. They have they're well coached by a guy that Texas maybe wanted to hang on to a little longer than they did. But I think that overall, when you look at Tennessee, and you look at a team that is nothing's going to surprise them. I think that they can defend, but I think the more important thing is they can guard you 1-5, but they can get out on the break and they can hurt you in a hurry. I think the slipper comes off finally tonight for Cinderella. I think Tennessee wins and they cover the points.
I'm with you. I'm a believer in, generally speaking, overwhelming majority of the time, Cinderella dies on the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, in the early rounds, you get a lot of upsets. But here is the part of the tournament that usually starts to – where the chalk usually starts to come out. So I'm with you. I'm taking the Vols and the points. Last game, this is the one I am most looking forward to tonight. UCLA and Gonzaga, again, right here in Vegas. I fully intend to be at this game, thanks to you and Joe. you know, you've got Jaime Jaquez is averaging almost 18 and 8. David Singleton's hitting, knocking down threes, knocking down 2 threes a game for the Bruin. You mentioned Drew Timmy earlier and the Bulldogs. Drew Timmy shooting 62% and averaging over 21 a game. He has been a monster scoring points. Julian Strauth is averaging over 18.5 a game for the Zags over his last 10 games. I know you're high on the Zags. Are you high enough on them to take down UCLA?
What's the points?
One. UCLA is favored
I don't like that a lot, but I do. If I have to pick this game, I take the Zags because unlike previous years when they had Chet Holmgren, and these teams have met quite frequently in the last several years in the tournament, I really like the fact that this year the Zags are coming in as an underdog. The Zags aren't going to be one of the overwhelming favorites to get there. They're not going to be talking about them all year and praising a guy that also is an unbelievable March coach in Mark Few. And they're not going to have the kind of pressure that they had on them a year ago. No one is talking about the Zags right now. And Drew Timmy has the best footwork in the country. And I believe that he can get buckets. He can get to the line. He can make free throws. And I think UCLA is dinged up. And whether they play or not is not the issue. How they play with their injuries is. And so I believe that if I had to pick this game outright, I would take the Zags and one, you know, and whether the point is there or not. In a pick'em situation, I just feel really good. And they're both good coaches. I really feel good about the Bulldogs coming in as an underdog and Drew Timmy and Mark Few finding a way to see it through.
It's tough to go against the Zags knowing they've been so good for so long. And here they are again with a terrific scorer. You look at the length, the athleticism of UCLA, and is it going to be more than the Zags can handle? It's such a toss-up game. I mean, the 1 point really is a great line on this because this is as much a toss-up game, I think, as we're going to get. Coin flip. I want to roll with the underdogs. I want to roll with the Zags because, look, I think Mark Few is a great coach. And I have a ton of respect for him, the way he runs that program. I want to root for Gonzaga. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs on that one. And those are going to be tonight's games in the NCAA tournament. Well, we're going to do this again tomorrow, but right now there are there's food, there are beverages, and there's a pool that's calling my name that I really want to go explore all those things. So while I do love you guys very much, I believe it is time that we take our part.
Yeah, it's bedtime. The Wheelhouse is coming up next, 3 to
they
7
are coming
from the same location.
They are. They're coming up next. Jake, Cody, BK. They got you till 7 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 Live from Circa Casino Resort in Las Vegas. See you tomorrow.